in that amount of time, you are transported to a forest in Borneo and you feel the heat and humidity and you see the bugs she describes.
Developing listening comprehension using ListenWise, that's what we're talking about next.
And now it's time for another edulicious episode of the Bentley Brothers Podcast, bringing you what's current and what works in education. Here are your hosts, Scott and Tim Bentley.
Bentley Brothers, Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bentley Brothers, yep. Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Yep.
First name Bentley, last name Brothers, bringing education information like no other.
That's right, Scott. We have a very special guest today with us, Monica Brady Myrov, and she is a 20-year journalist, and now she is the founder of an amazing website, amazing resource that's free for our classrooms, and that's ListenWise. Welcome to the show, Monica.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Tim and Scott.
All right.
Hey, Monica, give us a background really fast on journalism. What were you doing in journalism and what got you into that to begin with?
Yeah, I was a public radio reporter for 20 years. You know, I set out after college, I did some international reporting. I was a freelancer in Kenya and then Brazil. And then I came back to the States and worked for primarily NPR and NPR stations. So most recently, I was a senior reporter at WBUR in Boston for the last 15 years. So really, my whole career has been in making good stories and loving audio storytelling.
And now you're sharing good stories, right?
Well, that's people ask me often, oh, do you miss reporting? I said, no, I get to share it with more people.
Right. Okay, so for our listeners that might not be familiar with ListenWise, why don't you just give us the basic, you know, what is ListenWise? Why would a teacher want to use something like that in their classroom?
ListenWise is a listening skills building company using public radio. So we curate public radio stories that you've heard on NPR and other stations and in podcasts. And we select them so that they are aligned to the standards and the topics teachers need to teach in middle and high school. So we have a section of current events, English language arts, science and social studies. We've curated more than 1,000 stories. They're all about 3 to 5 minutes long, so you don't have to spend your whole class time listening. It's a focused listening exercise followed by listening discussion questions, teaching resources, things that help you attach what they're listening to your curriculum. So it's all aligned with what you need to teach. And, you know, I've been doing it for about 4.5 years, and it started when my own daughter was showing me how much she was listening in the third grade. She was listening every morning to, you know, Morning Edition on NPR because that's all I'd put on. And she started asking me some really good questions, and I thought, wow, why isn't anybody using this in the classroom on a regular basis? I mean, I know some teachers already do this, but there was no easy way to do it. There was no vehicle to help teachers do it systematically across subject matters and across grade levels.
Yeah, and ListenWise for me has been really great because I started getting into the aspect of how we look at news and analyze news. And I think it's really nice when that listening aspect comes in and the kids can just sit back and soak it up and then ask questions. They're not struggling necessarily with the decoding of words and things like that. That can sometimes be a struggle when you get into the higher level news content. So that's how I've been using it. And I'm not even at middle or high school. I've been doing that with fifth graders, which has been fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good point. We are being used by a lot of fifth grade teachers and younger because they're also just good listeners to begin with. But, you know, listening practice is not something we typically do in our classrooms. It just is probably the least taught skill, and yet it's one of the most important. Because what do you need when you go to college? You need to be able to listen to a lecture and absorb what the main point is. What happens when you get a job? Your boss is giving you instructions verbally. People aren't handing you apps to play a game for your, you know, career instructions. So it was interesting to me to learn how much listening as a skill is overlooked in education when I had spent my career creating great listening stories and hearing people talk about them all the time, knowing that like listening can be so powerful to your learning experience, and yet it wasn't there in the K-12 classroom.
I think you have it with like fictional things, but the nonfiction aspect of what ListenWise brings, that's where the power was, because so much we're taught so much as teachers. We've got to get into that nonfiction genre. Like we have to get non-genre, but we have to get in that nonfiction text and really have our students comprehending that information, rather, because that's really what they're going to be facing most of their life. Fiction reading typically is for enjoyment for the most part, but it's that nonfiction informational type of listening that's really cool in ListenWise.
Yeah, I mean, the Common Core requires as much as 70% of the information be nonfiction. Well, where does that all come from?
Yeah.
And here's this great body of fact-checked, compelling, real-world stories that nobody had ever looked at and sifted through to say, well, what ones really fit with the classroom? So that's what ListenWise does for you for free, by the way. You know, ListenWise is a free resource for teachers, and you can have access to all these categorized stories and listening discussion questions and some worksheets all for free.
Yeah.
So there is a premium element to it as well that allows for more of a digital experience and student logins and additional listening quizzes and scaffolded supports for ELLs, because there's a lot more we can provide and help teachers with. But in the very beginning of it, you know, public radio is free, ListenWise is free.
Mm. Now, how do you... Do you have teachers on your staff there? Because I know that your background is not in education. So how do you make sure that what you're doing and you're preparing for the classroom is appropriate for a classroom?
That's a great question. Yes, we have teachers guide us in that on our staff. And also we contract with teachers. It all started with me going to my children's teachers and saying, how would you use this? What would it align to? And they were our first partners at ListenWise in helping develop the curriculum. So all of that is developed by either current teachers or former teachers. And they understand how to make these activities engaging and how to bring the listening in so that you can also tie it into, say, reading comprehension. Because, you know, listening comprehension is really fundamental to literacy. And this is, and that research shows that, you know, if you're not a good listener, you're not a good reader. So teachers are working in our lessons to try to bring these two elements together and really focus on that fact that students can listen 2 to 3 grade levels higher than they can read. So let's really challenge them with some good listening, you know, resources that have rich content, and follow that with activities that will improve their content knowledge and their literacy.
Monica, how do you choose the stories? I mean, because we try to teach our kids about bias and things like that. So how do you make sure that they aren't, you know, biased, I guess?
Well, you know, we start with a very good vast ocean of resources from public radio to choose from. You know, they try very hard to be non-biased.
Yeah.
But then even for the classroom, there's another filter in there that we put on. But the way we choose, it always begins with, what is the subject matter you're teaching in your 5th grade social studies class or in your 9th grade English language arts class? What is the public radio story that best illustrates that topic? So we really try to start from, what are you teaching and how can we help you teach it? As opposed to, oh my gosh, this is such a cool story I heard on NPR and I just want to share it. Because I know that teachers don't have time for that. There's so little time in the classroom, and they have to be tied into learning content, learning standards. So we do, at least in our lesson collection, for sure, we're looking for stories that tightly align with what they're teaching. That's one of the first filters. The other is length. You know, we want to keep it short, 3 to 5 minutes. And then when we're with current events, we're looking at what that, then we can be a little more free with the topics and just think, what interests students? What sparks discussion? We've focused our Friday current events on debates. And one recently, which is really popular, was like, should you allow fidget spinners in class? But, okay, this is something that, you know, middle schoolers loved, you know, and we lay out the debate and we give suggestions on how you can do a written debate or an oral debate. But it all starts with this story that presents two sides of it. So we take a lot of care in how we do it. And we listen to every single story. We don't have a computer bot that spits out stories for ListenWise.
So can you Monica, can you think of a story that maybe we could play for our listeners so they get an idea of what these NPR, you know, listening files are like?
Yeah, I would suggest the story Virus Hunting is in the title of it. And it's a current event that really exemplifies how listening to something can take you somewhere else really quickly and immerse you in the story. You don't even need to play the whole story. You can just play the first like minute and a half, because in that amount of time, you are transported to a forest in Borneo and you feel the heat and humidity and you see the bugs she describes. And I just think it's a great example of what audio can do, and good audio storytelling in a very short amount of time, take you out of your environment into something completely different. And you're making a movie in your mind. And I think that's a really good one to play.
Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and play that right now for our listeners.
And today we go on a hunt in an ancient forest in Southeast Asia. It's where deadly viruses hide out, waiting for their chance to leap into a person and then spread around the world. Think Ebola, Zika, bird flu. There are more diseases like these than ever before. NPR is taking the next few weeks to explore why.
We got something? Oh, we got something. Great.
All right, let's go.
That's NPR's Michaeline Duklev. She joined a team of scientists as they tried to catch the next killer virus before it catches us. Here's her story.
We've got bug spray. We've got headlamps. We're going into the forest. And it's deep.
And it's steep.
That's Kevin Olival. Okay. He's a virus hunter with EcoHealth Alliance, a U.S.-based group of scientists. They fly around the world looking for killer viruses.
It becomes dense right away.
Ooh, thorns. He's brought me to a tropical rainforest. We're on the island of Borneo in Malaysia.
This way.
Because this is the type of place where outbreaks are born.
This way is a little easier.
HIV came from a rainforest. So did Ebola. The next one could come from here. A big reason why? All the crazy animals that live in the forest.
See the size of this guy?
Oh, wow. What is that?
It's a roly-poly bug.
Whoa, huge.
Yeah.
It's like the size of a chestnut. That's awesome.
Almost a ping pong ball.
This is one of the richest places on Earth for life.
Oh, oh, oh.
In this Borneo rainforest, in an area about the size of a small farm, there can be more species of plants and animals than in the U.S. and Canada combined.
It's a hot spot for biodiversity.
There are pygmy elephants, monkeys with noses the size of beer cans, and a deer that's as small as a rabbit. That's right, a deer that you could cradle like a baby. Here's the thing. Places that have lots of crazy animals like this have lots of crazy viruses. Olival is trying to find out what viruses are inside these animals, so he's trying to catch them.
Oh, that's what it'll sound like when an animal goes in there.
Olival's team has set up metal traps on the ground and up in the trees.
Okay, just don't step on that trap.
These traps are set up to trap rodents and small mammals. What he really wants to catch is a bat.
Yeah, to the bat nets we go.
There are a dozen nets strung like huge spider webs high in the trees.
The nets are open, the traps are baited and open. The rain is coming, unfortunately, so.
So now we just wait.
Now we wait.
For the bats to go hunting and fly into one of these nets. Then we can take their blood and look for new viruses.
Michaeline! We got one.
Oh, there it is. Wow, he's so cute. Oh, look at his wings.
Little puppy face.
Little puppy face.
Short-nosed fruit bat.
Short-nosed fruit bat. So he's going into a bag.
Which he can breathe through.
The bag helps keep the bat calm as we carry him to a makeshift lab near the trapping site.
So we're going
to
take the bat out of the bag.
He really does look like a puppy. And he wraps his wings around his body like a little blanket.
Oh, there he is.
But this bat isn't something you want to snuggle with.
Just be careful.
This little guy, these bats, are arguably one of the most dangerous animals in the world.
Take your time.
They triggered the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. The pandemic of killer pneumonia back in 2003, that was called SARS. And they're behind one of the viruses scientists think could cause the next big one, Nipah.
We're about to collect specimens from this bat. Mask is on, gloves are on.
One reason why bats are so dangerous is they have this weird ability to carry a lot of deadly viruses.
Off your finger.
In their spit, their pee, their poop. Okay. And because they fly, they can spread these viruses over huge distances.
What an awesome example. You know what? It comes to mind as being a parent, right? This is also another great tool to create discussions at home. You know, parents are always looking for ways to connect with their kids. And ListenWise gives you these topics that you can share these conversations with your child. There's so many different ways I see this being used for a classroom teacher to encourage those like deeper level thinking skills on so many levels and that connection at home. Any other things that you can think about that you've heard people using ListenWise for?
Well, you know, when I started it, it was primarily for exactly the reasons you're saying, Scott, you know, deepening understanding, engaging. But what's been interesting is how much attention and interest we get from English language learner teachers. You know, this is the fastest growing population in our nation's schools. We're going to be having 25% of our students will be learning English in our schools. And a lot of them get stuck in this classification for a long time because they can't acquire academic language. Well, you and I and anybody who listens to public radio knows what academic language sounds like. It's those higher level SAT vocabulary words that we grew up with. And if you're a public radio NPR listener, you hear them all the time. Well, ListenWise is being used in so many classrooms across the country to help English language learners acquire academic language. And we've put in a lot of supports, including an interactive transcript so that you can listen to the story and see the words as you hear them, see how they're spelled. You can slow down the audio. We have tiered vocabulary. We just added a really cool feature with text help, if you're familiar with them. That allows any word on the page to be highlighted and defined with a dictionary or with a picture or translated into Spanish or read out by a computer. So it just unlocks all of the language. So it turns ListenWise stories into language stories. And that's what our scaffolding does. So that's another way that we're being used in many ways and across the world, because there are English learners all around the world and they're using ListenWise to improve their speaking and listening skills because it's got such great diversity of voices, perspectives, pacing, all these things that, again, like you and I listen to, you know, NPR every day, we hear it, but you don't if you're coming from a household that English isn't the first language. So that kind of practice has been really important.
Now,
this is why we love this, Tim.
Yeah,
this is
definitely.
Why we love this.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned, you know, hearing different people's voices. That's got to be a strength of ListenWise, because certainly the teacher could just read news stories to the class.
So yeah.
Is there anything else? Yeah, exactly. Is there anything else that you found that's really a reason to use ListenWise? You know.
Well, you know, a big reason in 15 states is that they have listening standards that are tested. So this didn't come out as a headline in the Common Core story a few years ago. But the fact is that listening and speaking is an anchor standard of the Common Core. And in 15 states that use the SBAC, the Smarter Balance, it's tested. And it's quite a large percentage of the English language arts portion of the test. It comprises 20% of SBAC in California.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we found, and we have a lot of interest from customers in California because they're seeing their SBAC scores. They're looking at listening and saying, oh my gosh, my students bombed listening because we didn't even talk about it. And it's killing our ELA scores. So we know that our literacy supports can improve this. And we know we added a listening quiz this year that's modeled on the SBAC. And this is the first of its kind multiple choice listening test. Because when I started ListenWise, a lot of district leaders would say, well, how do you know it works? You're improving listening skills. How do you know? And I said, oh, well, we'll just find a listening test to gauge ourselves against. And guess what? There was no listening test. There are many, many reading tests and many, many reading levels. There was no online multiple choice measure for listening. And I said, well, we have to build it. So we built it last year and released it in February. And it's just been huge to see how you can track how well do my students understand the main point. Can they inference from listening? Do they understand vocabulary and context? This is all on these SBAC tests. So these 15 states that test SBAC are really waking up to this and saying, oh my gosh, I've got to actually teach this as a skill. And if my students practice, they'll do better. Because we do have some evidence now from California where sixth graders that used ListenWise performed 14% higher than the seventh and eighth graders. That was in one charter school that we worked with. Wow. And it's anecdotal. But we have a lot of other anecdotal stories too. And all the research says, if you practice listening, you will improve. So it's all coming together finally, but it's been a real, a lot of work for us to construct these tools around listening that just didn't exist.
What an exciting thing to build this and know you're making an impact. And how cool, Monica.
I'm having a great time.
I bet.
Yeah. Now, Monica, is there, can you, real quickly here, we're running out of time, but can you give us a little glimpse, maybe our listeners a glimpse into what's coming next? Do you have anything in the works right now for changing ListenWise or adding things to it?
Mm-hmm. Well, we just released a new lessons page format. So any of our regular users in Premium will see that we've really improved the look and feel of it. So that's going to be something you notice. And the text help, that was a big thing we added, I think, because it and we just added it literally last week. This feature, it only appears in the student view. It is part of Premium, but it unlocks every word on the page. Every written word can be defined, read aloud, translated. It's huge. I'd say the next big thing for us is we are in a huge lesson, you know, content push. Over the summer, we like to work with teachers when they're off, and we build up our lessons collection because we always want more alignments to early American history. We need some more, you know, novels in high school English. So we're going to be releasing a lot of new lessons coming this fall. So stay tuned for that.
Very cool.
Excellent. Excellent. Now we're going to switch gears with you here and play a little game, if you don't mind. So, Monica,
I can't wait. I love this game. I said, I feel like I'm on. Wait, don't tell me.
That's right.
Yeah, only with like a tenth of the audience.
That's okay.
We'll someday, though. Someday.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Someday we'll be passing them up on the ratings. Monica, you're the founder of ListenWise, and ListenWise, of course, shares NPR news stories for the classroom. Today, we're going to ask you about some strange stories that NPR has put out recently to see if you can spot the fake news.
This is good. Okay.
Okay. So we're calling our little game NPR not. R2 are not. You know, because we teach kids and that's they like to say that. Scott, why don't you tell our audience who Monica will be competing for today?
Monica, you'll be competing for Paul Solars, a fifth grade teacher in Arlington Heights, Illinois. If you're able to answer two out of the three questions correctly, Paul will be awarded, can I tell him?
You can.
A free ListenWise premium account. Paul, you are going to be stoked if Monica can do this for you.
I'm going to try my hardest.
All right, Monica. So here we go with your first fake news question. Recently, seven students walked into a bar. Seven students walked into a bar in Cardiff, Wales. The staff first turned them away, but eventually apologized with a free round of drinks. Why did the staff first turn them away? Is it A?
The students were dressed as priests, and the bar employees mistakenly thought they were in costume.
Or is it B?
The students had brought dogs with them, but it turned out that the students were blind and the dogs were their seeing eye dogs.
Or is it C?
The students had shaved heads and the bartender thought they were skinheads. It turned out that they were just patients with disease.
So which one is the completely fake answer to that? Or which one is the real one?
Which one is the real one? Yes, I'm sorry. That I didn't give very clear directions on that. So one of these is actually the reason they turn him away. So it's either the priest one, yeah, the dog one, or the skinhead one.
I think they let the priest drink. So I'm going to go with B. They didn't want the dogs in the bar.
Well, they actually were dressed up as priests because they were priests. They were student priests. And the people in the bar thought they were just goofing around by wearing a costume in there. Okay, that's okay. You still have two more chances, okay. But you got to have to get these. An Indiana couple who has been married 60 years has almost achieved their goal. They visited all 645 U.S. locations of which of these places? Is it A?
Minor league baseball stadiums.
Or is it B?
Cracker Barrels, a.k.a. Alice Keeler's favorite restaurant.
Or is it SC?
Kohl's department stores.
All right, so believe it or not, one of those is actually true.
60 years of marriage. All right, I'm going to have to go. Let's see. Coles probably hasn't even been around 60 years. Let's go with Cracker Barrels.
Hey,
woo!
That's right. Woo! It is Cracker Barrel. They only got one left to go to.
Okay. they've done all but one.
They've gone to 644, and now hopefully they're not about to finish building another one. But
and they've lasted 60 years. I mean, that's impressive.
That is very impressive.
Right. So, okay. Your third and final question, no pressure. A recent survey of British workers revealed the most hated office jargon. Which of these did not make the list? So two of these were actually on the list of most hated office jargon. Mm-hmm. Is it A?
That's a no-brainer.
Is it B?
Make hay.
While the sun shines. Or is it C?
Run it up the flagpole.
Right? So one of these.
And did you say they were British office workers?
These are British office workers. So one of these, the British office workers, did not choose as a hated jargon.
I'm just going to guess C, run it up the flagpole, because it sounds, no, maybe not. Maybe make hay.
Make hay? Oh, you want to pick make hay.
Well, yeah, let's do make hay, because that doesn't sound office related at all.
I'm glad you changed your answer from run it up to the flagpole to make hay, because that is correct. Yes.
Yay.
Okay, right. You barely made it at the last second. Those were hard questions. So, how did Monica do today, Scott?
Good job, Monica. You got 2 out of 3 correct, and that's good enough to be a winner.
Congratulations. Yay.
You won absolutely nothing, but Paul Solard's buddy, you just won a free premium subscription to ListenWise, you lucky dog, the leading provider in quality content to improve listening comprehension. Monica, we are so thankful that you came on, and we're so excited to share what you've created over these past 4+ years with the audience. And we're proud to have you here and proud to have you, sharing this information.
Well, it's been a pleasure and a lot of fun. So thank you for having me.
Excellent. Now, do you have any Twitter handles or websites besides ListenWise that you'd like to share with our audience? Email address?
Yeah, the obvious one is listenwise.com. You can also reach out to me. I'm at monica@listenwise.com. Pretty easy to remember. And then if you want to tweet or follow us, because we've always highlighting a lot of great news and resources and retweeting things around listening, we're at listenwiselearn for our Twitter handle. So yeah, check us out.
Excellent. And Scott, why don't you remind our listeners about one of our passions, Global School Playdate?
Hey, coming up the first Wednesday in February of every year, Global School Playdate is really focused on providing kids with unstructured playtime and saying as a school that we see the importance of that for our kids. And Tim, in just the third year, we had over 250,000 kids from 51 nations participating. We're hoping in this upcoming year to break 1 million. Who knows, right, bud?
That's right. So help us out. Spread the word. Put it on social media and let people know about Global School Playday. And go sign up so that you add your voice to the mix. It's globalschoolplayday.com. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And we hope you check out ListenWise and sign up today. And most of all, thanks for listening.
Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bedley Brothers, Bedley, Bedley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bedley Brothers, Bedley, Bedley Brothers, bringing...